In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, Wall Street, Matt Modica, Corey Parson, and a few. I am Greg Sussman here as we try to figure out the way to fix... what's going on over here? All right. We are going to figure out a way to fix your fantasy teams, hopefully fix my NFL team. And we do all of that over the next 3 hours. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Greg. I'm sorry it's not a good morning for you, unfortunately.
It's a good morning.
As a Giants fan. I meant as a Giants fan. But, you know, fantasy-wise, hope things are going well for you. And everybody listening out there, we're about to hit the waiver wire. Go to rotoexperts.com. Check out the exclusive Edge in-season fantasy football package featuring inside injuries. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. And we get you all ready for waivers week two with our Joe Galina.
There you go. Matt Modica, how are you, sir?
I'm doing better than the Giants. It seems like when you got like 3rd and 7, you throw it 5 yards, or 4th and 10, you throw it 8 yards. It's like, it's not even like they're like a yard shy. They're like a couple of yards shy of the marker.
I never understand. It has nothing to do with last night, but not majority to do with last night. I just don't get it. When you run, it's 3rd and 10, you run 9 yards. It will never, ever, ever make sense to me.
No, and you know what Matt's pointing to is just like the Giants really couldn't get anything going downfield. So it was really easy for the Detroit defense to put everything in front of them and, you know, just pressure Eli Manning up front. They pretty much had their way defensively. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. last night was a situational player, so there wasn't a regular downfield threat.
I sent that a tweet at the half of the game, at halftime. The first 6 quarters of the season, Jason Witten and Eric Ebron had combined for 34.1 fantasy points in a PPR. So the tight end is doing work once again against the Giants.
This is what's crazy. Everything you are saying, Scott, none of it's a surprise, right? The tight end has killed the Giants for years, for absolute years. And in fantasy, we have known to target the tight end when they play the Giants. Like, that's not a surprise. We know to use the defense against the Giants because the offensive line has been a problem for the last 2 years. And it's simply unacceptable. Like, I mean, I read these tweets, and it's amazing because you just listen to the press conference from the McAdoo last night, and it's all just it's tone deaf, man. It's absolutely tone deaf, blaming everything, you know, but himself. And you know, I always like coaches that, whether it's on them or not, it's like, you know, it's my fault. Tom Coughlin did that a lot. Like, listen, this one's on me. I have to be better. The McAdoo will never do that. So, we'll talk about the Giants game from a fantasy perspective, the return of Odell Beckham Jr., what the Lions did, my man Eric Ebron getting in the end zone. We'll do all of that when we come back. The Roto Experts in the Morning, up and running on a Tuesday. We'll be back right after this. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to 3 guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Back here with you, Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the King, Wall Street, and myself hanging out with you. And let's talk about last night's Giants Lions game from the fantasy perspective, because I certainly don't want to talk it from a real life perspective. Giants got whooped for the 8th consecutive game. They don't put up 20 points, but up 10, and this is an issue. Like, we talked, it's funny, we talked all preseason, the Giants should have a high-powered offense, the Redskins should have a high-powered offense, neither of which has materialized over the first 2 weeks. The Giants blame, really could be all on the offensive line. Eli took 5 sacks on Monday night, and it really could have been quite a few more. This team cannot run the football. So if you are a Paul Perkins owner, if you are an Orleans Darkwa owner, you shouldn't be. I mean that wholeheartedly. There is absolutely no reason to own Paul Perkins in a league. Like, if you have him, you should drop him. I don't care that he's a starting running back. They cannot run the football. He cannot run the football. And I saw this great tweet by Evan Silva last night. Drop Paul Perkins before you feel like you should use him to flex during a bye week. Right? Like, you should drop him before you force yourself to use him. That is a situation we are in with Paul Perkins.
Yeah, but for me, Paul Perkins, I understand he was coming in as the starting running back for the Giants, but he shouldn't have been drafted. Shane Vereen was the only running back on the Giants that should have been drafted. He went several rounds later. And look, I don't know, maybe he scored like 8.5 points last night, but he's going to give you like 8.5 to possibly 10 points a week when he's out there. He's the guy. I mean, look, they did way too many draw plays with him. That's something they got to, like, change up a little. But, yeah, I agree, and I guess at some point it's going to be Darkwa.
Yeah, I don't think it matters who the guy is, Scott. You could put Darkwa there, you could put Paul Perkins, you could put Barry Sanders there. There's no room to run.
Well, I think you kind of look at it like the Seattle situation. Like, you know, you're not going to put Rawls in there, you're not going to put Lacy in there, but you know, Carson at least gives him a bit of a spark. You know, if you watch the three guys play, the guy who runs the ball the best is Orleans Darkwa. You know, he had a nice 10-yard gain last night to at least make defenses respect the running game. And I think that's what they have to do. They don't have any offensive balance, you know, the first 2 weeks because no Beckham the first week. Last night he's a situational player. He opens up things so much more offensively. I feel like the smart thing for the Giants to do would at least, you know, have Darkwa be the lead runner because Vereen's just not capable of, like, being a pure runner. He you know, he's a great pass receiving back. That's what he is. The Giants need to change some things up on offense here.
You know, I've heard a lot about Beckham opening things up, and last night Odell Beckham played sparingly, as you both mentioned, and Beckham finished with 4 catches, 36 yards, 5 targets. He basically played all third downs. He played in the red zone, and he kind of was intermixed throughout. It was good to see him, most importantly, come out healthy. But if you're an Odell Beckham owner, again, the problem isn't so much Odell Beckham. It's that they're not going to be able to get Odell Beckham the ball given the efficiency of the offensive line. I understand the thought process that he should open things up, but when you can't get the ball out, you can't run a route. Basically, it's literally all on Odell to run 10 yards and never run the other 90. I mean, that's it. That's the offense.
Well, it's not a case where I'm saying they got to bomb the offense or whatever. It's like, he should get enough protection, and Odell should be able to...
No, he does not.
No, I'm saying is to catch quick slants,
sure,
you know, short hooks, curls, whatever, and use his yardage after the catch because he's that complete of a receiver.
Sure.
You know, high percentage passing. You know, that's what I think they can do. You know, and if Darkwa can at least run the ball respectably, sets up a little bit of play action, I think that... You know, when Odell, you see him next week, he's going to be closer to 100%. We'll hear from Dr. A on this, but he said he probably should come back week 3. I don't think the offense is going to be explosive, but it's not going to be quite what it was the first 2 weeks either.
Well, you made the point, Scott, if he can run the ball respectably. They cannot. The Giants have the least amount of run attempts in the NFL, and two teams played one game. And that's a fact.
I just believe that certain players are not replaceable, whether it's on offense or defense. Odell Beckham Jr. cannot be replaced. I think when he's there, it adds another dimension and lots of wrinkles to the offense that you just don't have when he's not there. The Giants' defense is very, very easy to defend without that. We saw what happened to the Packers, you know, without Jordy Nelson. Now, look, you know, that they still had Aaron Rodgers. He was a great quarterback, but Rodgers certainly didn't have his best season without Jordy Nelson. There are certain guys you just can't replace. If the Cowboys were to lose Dez Bryant, that offense would be significantly different.
Listen, there's no question about it. But the way that they're going to be able to make moves, you're right, is play action. That's what they had a little bit of success with last night. But, Matt, you can't run a play action when you cannot run the football.
Hey, look, the Giants had these issues last season.
Correct.
And Odell still caught 100 passes, over 1,300 and something yards, 10 touchdowns. Look, just putting him out there makes this offense better. He was more, as you stated correctly, a situational guy, a decoy at times. Hopefully, he's more at optimal health come week 3. As bad as the Giants look, as bad as the Redskins offense looks, even the Bengals – these teams will get better offensively. It's football. We get to see it once a week, and it's so heightened. But, I mean, I break it down in quadrants of four, and we'll see. After week four, there's going to be teams that we think are going to the playoffs. Come week eight, we're going to be like, oh, that team's terrible. So I think the Giants can make – they're going to have to make some sort of adjustments, you know, whether it's keeping the best running back who can pick up – who can pass block the best. They're going to have to do something. But Odell Beckham will help this team. Brandon Marshall, you know, dropping passes. He doesn't get open anymore neither. So they have issues there.
You know, it's interesting because when it came to Brandon Marshall, he's always dropped passes. That's always been a thing from back to Denver with Brandon Marshall. He has a tendency to drop passes. He's led the league in that statistic before. It obviously reared its ugly head last night in a major spot for the Giants. Brandon Marshall, I don't remember who it was. Florio, I think, was telling me about this. I apologize. I don't remember the expert who said it. But he said that Brandon Marshall, to some scout, looked like Andre Johnson in his last year.
I was saying that yesterday. NFL.com, okay. Chris Wesseling, the guy who was talking about DeMarco Murray. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
don't give Florio credit for what I said. He doesn't even clean the fishbowl.
One catch, 17 yards here for Brandon Marshall on five targets. Evan Engram actually led this team in targets with 7, 449. He also caught his first touchdown. They got a stupid penalty for grabbing his crotch. Then he dropped another touchdown. So, you know, Evan Engram, an up and down night for him. But I think he's going to be fantasy viable.
Yeah, no, and that, look, that one play, I think it was like on the 1 or 2 yard line where Slay really laid into him. As he was catching the ball, that was a tough play. But, yeah, Engram is a weapon on this offense. That's clear. Shepard, you know, he's not fantastic in any aspect, but he's solid enough. And you put Odell in there. And even with Vereen just, you know, playing that short passing game, the Giants will be better. I honestly believe that. I'm not a Giant fan. I'm not an Eli fan. So I have no rooting interest in that. I am an Odell Beckham owner in multiple spots. So, you know, I think you'll see this offense get – they can't get any worse.
Sure.
Let's look at it that way.
And you know, with Odell in there, I think it's going to open things up for Shepard a little more. I think he gets more defensive attention when he's not there. They don't have to respect Marshall as much as they did. I'm not saying they totally disrespect him. Marshall's drop was magnified, though, because, you know, he's hardly doing anything. And, you know, that was also magnified for a few reasons. You know, that is certainly one of them. He'll still command some defensive attention, but you have to think when Odell Beckham Jr. comes back, he's a clear number one. Shepard's still viable as a number two, and Engram's going to work his way into be probably the third best pass catcher in that offense. And, you know, every once in a while, Roger Lewis will make a play, but, you know, you really can't, like, think about him fantasy-wise unless there's an injury.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also, you got to realize that the Giants' offense is constantly playing from behind. And it's very clear that they're behind the eight ball and that they're all scatterbrained. And there's just very, very little momentum when it comes to the Giants' offense. But I can tell you this, when there was a little momentum last night, Brandon Marshall was just not involved in that momentum. Sterling Shepard looks 1,000 times better than Marshall. And, you know, I strongly hope as a Giants fan that they give Shepard more attempts and they give him more opportunities. Because he's earned them. I mean, he is at this point in his career, he's a better wide receiver than Brandon Marshall.
He's going to be open more often when Odell Beckham Jr. comes back. And the problem for Giants playing from behind is, you know, you can just – you don't even have to blitz. You can just bring pressure, and then Eli got sacked 5 times. You know, that's not an offense that you want to play from behind. Sometimes we assume when we talk about playing catch-up, you know, if a team gets behind and they don't have a good offensive line, it's pretty hard to play catch-up when you're getting sacked and your timing's getting thrown off and you're hurried, et cetera.
Well, I mean, the Giants actually at one point in that game got saved. The clock ran out on them. They got the penalty, which they were down 10. Mm-hmm. And at that point, look, I'm always for being aggressive and going for it, maybe, you know, like 4th and 1 instead of punting, going for it, or even going for the touchdown. But when you're down 10 points and you got to get in, you got to make it a one score game, at that point, they were supposed to kick the field goal. They got lucky. I mean, they got. That penalty saved them from themselves.
Absolutely. By the way, to show you that Pro Football Focus doesn't always pass the eye test, according to Nathan Jahnke last night, 4 of the 5 Giants offensive linemen were average or better in pass protection, allowing 1 to 2 pressures each. If you watch this game, they were not average or better in pass protection.
Kurt Warner had a great tweet. We'll talk about that later.
All right, I'll talk about that in a little bit. On the other side, though, let's get into the good Detroit Lions last night, who had a nice offensive game. We'll get into that when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
All right, we talked a lot about the Giants. Let's go to the other side of the game where there were actual fantasy points to discuss. I guess before we do, I do want to get one point. Is Eric Ebron somebody? I'm sorry. Does Evan Ingram? We'll do Ebron in a second. Is Eric Ingram a thing? Evan Ingram a thing? I just can't get it straight.
So I think he has been. You know, since the preseason. You know, we've been talking him up on this show. You know, he was lining up in the slot in the preseason. And like I just said, you know, I think he's probably going to be the team's third receiving option going forward. The problem is, though, like, you know, how often he gets on the field, because you have Red Ellison there. How often are they going to run two tight end sets? But, you know, he's going to be in there on passing down. I think he's going to be a regular red zone threat for that team.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he can be used all over the field. He's a matchup nightmare. I'm impressed with Evan Ingram, and I actually I own him in a couple of places, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I one of the things I liked about him, and I thought he'd have value this season, is Eli does like to throw to the tight end.
He does. Oh, yeah.
He does like to throw. He's got a, you know, the guy, he's got size, he's got speed. He's kind of more like a receiver than than a tight end. So, you know, and look, if he would have, if he could have caught that other pass, you know, his night was even better. But, you know, the Giants, okay, I'm just going to look at it as it can only get better from here. And I think Ingram will have a part. I think Shepard, I think his role is going to increase. The thing is, what are they going to do with Brandon Marshall? Because if Brandon Marshall, I mean, he hasn't done nothing, and it's been on him. But at some point, you don't want a disgruntled Brandon Marshall in your locker room either.
The other side of things, the other tight end, if I can say his name right, it's Eric Ebron for the Lions. Matt mentioned before how Jason Witten dominated his Giants offense, Giants defense, and Eric Ebron has now done it a week later. And it's been a recurring theme for the Giants over the years that they have not been able to stop the tight ends. Eric Ebron led the Lions in receiving, 42 yards on 5 receptions, also had a touchdown, a much better performance from last year. And the Giants defense actually did a nice job with the passing game. Matt Stafford, he only threw for 122 yards total. But Eric Ebron was his main source of attack, and I'm just happy Eric Ebron got through a day where a ton of tight ends got injured. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. But Eric Ebron did not get injured, stayed healthy, scored a touchdown. Eric Ebron on his way to doing what I hoped he would do all year long.
Yeah, Ebron, mine and Scott's bet on the Ebron Henry.
It's pretty close, right?
It was an interesting week. Ebron had 15.2. Went to Henry, who everybody wrote off for dead last week, had 15 points. So, you know, that's going to be a nice little battle we'll have all year. And, you know, that was, I mentioned it yesterday on the Frenzy, and I was really just being serious. I do own Ebron in a big league, and I've started Fleener over him the first 2 weeks. And I think if Ebron doesn't perform well tonight, knowing the history with the Giants, is there cause for concern? But obviously, Ebron delivered in that first half. They really didn't need him in that second half. So
it was even more of a matchup to exploit, you know, when you heard Goodson was out, you know, at middle linebacker. So the Giants, you know, went from weak to super weak. So you kind of knew that, you know, Ebron was going to get his last night. And yeah, nice rebounds week for both Ebron and Henry.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The rest of the receiving game for Detroit, as I said, they didn't really do much. Marvin Jones, I like that Stafford threw the ball up to him a couple times. One of those times came down with a touchdown. Golden Tate, very quiet last night, 4 for 25. That was kind of a surprise, Matt, especially without Janoris Jenkins in there.
It was, with Jenkins being out, but I don't know how much the injuries that he's been suffering have maybe hampered him last night as well. So, I mean, that was something to consider going in. I know he was going to start and he was going to play, and you pretty much had to put him out there, and especially, like you said, with Jenkins being out, you were more optimistic. But it did open up an advantage for what's his name? Who's the receiver?
Kenny Allen?
No.
Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones.
Sure.
Who exploited it, caught that big touchdown. So
I think it was situational with Tate. Yeah, the Matthew Stafford played really well early, and they ran the ball a lot last night. They did. I think it was situational. I think Marvin Jones, in this more diverse passing game, I think now that they have Galladay too and they have a healthy Ebron, I think you'll see people play certain roles. They like Marvin Jones as the deep guy, I think. So it's going to be very, very boom or bust for him. They want to get even Ebron more involved. They will take their shots with Galladay on both jump balls and in the red zone. I just think it was game flow last night, which pretty much got Tate.
Yeah, the one interesting thing is you really don't see this. The Lions ran the ball, 32 times and made 21 pass attempts? I mean, the game script dictated it. Once they got up by they got that second touchdown lead, you kind of knew. And like I said, the Giants, I think if I was a Giants fan, it was just so infuriating how time and time again they came up short on third and fourth downs.
Sure, it was, again, beyond the fury. Let's talk about the running game, though, for Detroit here for a moment. Amir Abdullah carried the ball 17 times, 86 yards. I believe he broke like 5 tackles in the game, which is more than he has in a single game in his career. He looked really, really good running the football last night. I know the offensive line has been a bugaboo for Detroit, much like it has been for the Giants, but Abdullah looked very, very good running the football yesterday, Scott.
Well, it has been a bugaboo, but they made moves during the offseason to improve it. Especially a tackle. They didn't bring in outstanding guys, but they brought in guys who could at least be solid if they stay healthy. And I think you saw that. And Abdullah had a 34-yard run at the end of the game, but this is the thing with Abdullah, that he came out with an ankle injury. Otherwise, he could have had a 100-yard game, so they used Theo Riddick to pretty much salt everything away. But you know what? He showed good vision. He showed some spark in his running last night. A lot of us have been down on Amir Abdullah, but the Lions continue to stick with him. And I think last night you saw with him why the Lions stuck with him.
Sure.
But you also saw why he's so frustrating, because he's going to reach 100 yards. And if you're in a performance league where you get a 100-point bonus for 100 yards rushing, he went out with an injury. So it was like a small reminder of why Amir Abdullah drives us crazy.
The Matthew Stafford and the Lions only threw the ball 4 times total after halftime last night. It just wasn't necessary for them. They played ball control offense. They didn't really give the Giants the ball back much, and kind of let the Giants bury themselves. It was a really nice game plan, I thought, from Jim Bob Cooter last night. A nice job by Jim Caldwell. The Lions now 2-0. And it's interesting because, remember, the Lions took a lot of flack how badly they ended last year, losing all those games toward the end of the year, kind of blowing that division in the NFC North. And they've started off a nice 2-0 here for Detroit.
That's a big win for them because, look, I think the Giants are going to win some games.
Maybe.
And I stated before the season, I don't think anybody in the NFC East is going to win 10 games. I think they have, they have tough matchups to go up having to play the AFC West. They're going to beat up each other as well. So, bless you. And, it's a big win in the fact that if they finish tied with the Giants, they got the tiebreaker there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they played it correct. They got the lead. They didn't have to throw it. Abdullah, if he could ever, like I said, Scott, I think, said it perfectly, why you like him, why you hate him. He's got 15 attempts in week one, 17 last night. If he ever got like that 20 to 25 range, like maybe 22, then you could possibly see him. Because, as the game goes on is where the line usually dominates and the defense gets tired. And he does have talent. It's the thing is, will it ever come to full fruition?
Yeah, and that is a question mark. Scott, you mentioned Amir Abdullah left that game with an ankle injury. I'm not sure how much was due to the game being over and whatnot. I hope he's okay. But he wasn't the only running back to leave last night. Dwayne Washington, your guy, also left this game last night with an injury. Could see a little bit of Zach Zenner next week for Detroit.
Well, it's too early to really tell what's going to happen for next week. But, if they have to go with Zach, I think they'll probably, just give it to Abdullah near the goal line if he's healthy. Because I don't even know why Zenner's being rostered by them anymore, actually.
Why do you hate Zach Zenner?
What?
Because he loves Dwayne Washington.
You liked him last year.
I was wrong on him.
How are you wrong? He played fine last year.
He did?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I watched him run. He didn't look too good.
I mean, the stats were fine. I watched him run, too. He had a nice end of the year. I don't know why you hate Zach Zetter so much, man.
I just think he's a Jag.
He is a Jag, but to say he should lose his job.
I don't think they really need him, you know, with the other guys that they have.
Well, if Dwayne Washington gets hurt, then you go to the next man up. That's why you need Zach Zetter for.
How many touchdowns did he score last year?
Three? It's a guess, though.
How would you feel if somebody called in and called you a Jag?
Zach Zetter had four.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I guess he had four.
It's not bad.
It's not good either, but.
What do you mean?
Considering the Lions.
What is wrong with four touchdowns? You know who also had four touchdowns? Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, he went back to the Sanu.
Yeah, but Sanu, what yardage? In that offense, those kind of numbers are like, you know, if they had any other number two wide receiver there, they would produce better numbers. But where are we going with this? We go with back to Dwayne Washington. He took a pop last
night. Yes,
he did. Took a big pop. He was running good the first game and a half, but, you know, they took a big pop last night.
Yeah, he did. And the problem really, I think, with the Detroit running game is, yes, yesterday they kind of sat on the ball and they ran a lot. But in these games that will be competitive, much like the Giants, they'll just go away from the run. And that's why Theo Riddick becomes so valuable. I think last night's game for Detroit is just so rare where they just sit on the ball and they run and use Amir Abdullah in that fashion. Those games are few far between. I'm an Amir Abdullah owner. I am pushing him out today hard.
You know what I saw with Stafford, though? It's like he played really, really well. You look at the final stat line and you say you didn't have a good game. You didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
He played really, really well. It bodes really well going forward, you know, for when this team is in more competitive games. It's just like, he's really, really entering his prime as a quarterback. He just looks very good in terms of his decision making. He's showing more mobility now, et cetera. It's just like he looks really crisp. He looks really good. I think Matthew Stafford's in for a very good year.
I think Matthew Stafford could be in for a good year, too. Like I said, I thought he looked very good last night, yeah. Scotty. I completely agree with you.
When Corey kept saying, you know, wait on quarterbacks until Matthew Stafford, you know, that was pinpoint.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of reason why the general fantasy football is broken. Like in the Flex Cup PPR, Matthew Stafford went undrafted. And to me, that's a major flaw.
Yeah, I think the quarterbacks remain very, very interesting. It's certainly the lightning rod of topics here at this table. Gentlemen, we have a minute left here. Final takeaways, Monday Night Football. Matt?
I think the Lions played a solid all-around game. They didn't force it in the second. They didn't have to throw it. They didn't force it. They played the game script correctly. The Giants, look, getting Odell back will help this team. A full-strength Eli will change things for them.
Yeah, Scotty.
I would say that, you know, the Giants' offense will be more respectable starting next week. And Matthew Stafford, be very comfortable with him as a QB1 the rest of the way. Don't look at those yardage numbers.
When we come back, some of the other headlines from yesterday, I mentioned the tight ends. We'll talk about just how bad that tight end situation is when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
So the tight end position took a little bit of a beatdown over this past weekend. And that's kind of why I was nervous about Eric Ebron last night, because it seemed like every tight end that normally gets hurt, well, over this weekend, got hurt. Not surprisingly. Let's start at the top. I mentioned it, of course, on yesterday's program, but Rob Gronkowski left the Patriots' win against the Saints with a groin injury after, yes, wait for it, I have to give it out, the 69th touchdown of Rob Gronkowski's career. He hurt his groin injury. He says he's fine. Patriots say he's fine. Does anyone believe that Gronk is fine?
I'm waiting to talk to Dr. A, but a groin is not a major injury. Usually,
speak for yourself.
What's that?
Speak.
I've never
yourself.
Had a groin injury, so I can't.
It's painful.
What's that?
It's painful.
Yeah, but you know, talking to former NFL players who've had the injury, it's really a thing where at worst you're going to be a game time decision in a lot of cases. It depends on how you feel in warm up. So you know, this is not a high ankle sprain You know, it's not look. So if he's day to day, I think there are worse injuries than a groin is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that like it puts him out of the woods necessarily, but I think there are worse injuries.
The problem here with Gronk is you're going to be dealing with an injury like every other week, and it's look as great as he is, and I agree he hasn't looked like Gronk from years past. He does look maybe I don't want to say he lost a step because that's not right, but I don't know. You just can't be that, you know. It's why I stayed away. I wasn't paying that, you know. Some people late second round, early third round. I just didn't want. I learned from last year. I'll say that.
Rob Gronkowski, who hurt his groin, he's going to be questionable all week. Would not surprise me to see him miss the game, but he says he's fine. He told us he's fine before, then missed many, many, many games with a back injury. That's Gronk. Jordan Reed left the game with what was called the bruised chest. He returned from injury, but listen, Jay Gruden says he's day-to-day because he's got this bruised chest and his AC joint. A lot going on up here, of course. The toe is still an issue for Jordan Reed. The bad news, though, Matt, is that Jordan Reed plays on Sunday Night Football here this week. Yes, Vernon Davis could be there, but Jordan Reed, Sunday Night Football against Oakland. He's got this battered chest. He's also going to be questionable for Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he's another talented, super talented tight end that, you know, I really just don't want to, I don't want to own because it seems like every week you're going to be dealing with this as well. I mean, the big names on draft day, you know, Olsen's got a broken foot. Jimmy Graham has been, so I mean, it's just, there's been other tight ends if you waited on you feel much better with right now.
Well, not all of them, as you said. Greg Olsen broke his foot. He's going to be out 6 weeks. Scott, Ed Dixon says, just give me the ball. Don't change the game plan, man. I can beat Greg Olsen.
I don't think he's quite as talented as Olsen, but I think, you know, in the past, in a lot of two tight end sets, when you watch game flow with the Panthers, Cam Newton does have a rapport with him, so he's got some tight end two potential, Greg.
I think the guy to look for in Carolina, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'll take one last stab at it.
Devin Funchess.
He's got to be the guy. I mean, I think he caught like 4 for 68. And look, he looks the part. He looks every bit the part. Maybe at some point it comes to fruition, but I'm not buying Ed Dixon in Carolina. I'm sorry.
I'm also not buying Devin Funchess in Carolina. I'm sorry.
That's fair, but at least Funchess has some upside. I'll give him one last chance. I mean, I'm not going to, if he's out there on a waiver wire, I think he's worth just taking a shot, put him on your bench, see how things go. Oh. Somebody's got to get the ball, right?
I think it should be Christian McCaffrey. I think that's just it. It's Christian McCaffrey that gets the ball.
Well, I hope so.
Kelvin Benjamin's going to get his. Look, he's gonna connect with Benjamin. And it's like he said, it's going to be McCaffrey. You know, you never want to see anybody go down necessarily, but, you know, I think it opens things up more for McCaffrey in the passing game because, you know, Benjamin's going to draw a lot of defensive attention. Who else really there is going to challenge defenses? McCaffrey's a unique chess piece, and, you know, now you're like, Matt always talks about how he likes Danny Woodhead. He can play that sort of role for the Panthers, I think.
I think McCaffrey's role is going to expand every week going forward. Look, I know Rivera came out. We want to. You hear all this stuff, and look, it's coach speak for the most part. Jonathan Stewart's still there. He'll have a role, but I think going forward each week you'll see CMC his workload increase every week.
As you mentioned, Jimmy Graham, he hurt his ankle on the day, on Sunday. Now, he got that thing taped up. Pete Carroll says, listen, this is real. I mean, he's actually questionable for Sunday. He's day to day. Early questionable call there on Jimmy Graham. Scott, this seems like a real reason for concern when it comes to Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I think so. It sounds to me, although I may not be completely accurate. Go to the exclusive engine season fantasy football package at rotoexperts.com. Now features inside injuries. Type in Jimmy Graham's name in the search box. You'll get his inside injuries information on his player card. To me, I think it's a grade one ankle sprain. Obviously, it sounds like after all we've learned, you know, about this kind of stuff. And you know, if not, I think Russell Wilson's comfortable enough with Luke Wilson, you know, who's been with him basically his entire career, whereas if they don't have Graham, you know, they don't necessarily want to risk it. You know, if Graham sits out, I think he needs to clear his head anyway. But this is a bad matchup for the Seahawks, you know, going into Tennessee. You know, that offensive line against a very, very good defensive line, that's going to be a problem. It is. So they're going to even be able to get the ball to Graham. It's, you know, I'm liking the Titans defense as a stream this week.
I mean, the Bears have a pretty bad matchup, home versus Pittsburgh, but I mean, Zach Miller seems to be getting targeted. So if somebody like Jimmy Graham doesn't play and you got to go deep dive on the waiver wire.
Let's not forget that Austin Seferian Jenkins comes back from his suspension this week, too.
Yeah, there are a couple of tight ends we're going to get to in a moment that are potential pickups, like Zach Miller and ASJ. But I wanted to kind of get through the injured tight ends first, and that leads me now to Tyler Eifert, who seems to, like, get out of this game unscathed. And remember, this was last Thursday, and it was brutal. And all of a sudden, Schefter reports yesterday, battling back injury, which he's had for years, battling knee injury, which he's had for years. Tyler Eifert is brittle. He is beat up. And Tyler Eifert, who's always injured, much like Reed, much like Gronk, is injured again.
He took some big shots in that game last Sunday. I think a lot of people would have came out banged up with the kind of shots that he took. But, you know, look, some guys are more injury prone than others. And, you know, that's the story with Eifert.
Yeah, it's like a broken record. I mean, maybe the fantasy exec was right for having him ranked 18th. I mean, I was furious that he went out of bounds and came back in. He was all by himself there. That touchdown got taken off the board. It's a shame because he is really talented. It's just another one of these tight ends that, you know, are full of potential, but, you know, staying on the field is a major issue.
Yeah, he has not been able to accomplish that at all. Staying on the field, he's been an end zone monster, and instead of getting in the end zone this year, much like the rest of the Bengals, he's done nothing. He's done nothing. I think it's a good thing for Tyler Eifert owners that kind of played him out there, put him out there. You don't have him out there. He's not going to cost you here this week. Now, Scott, you mentioned a second ago that with all of these tight ends that are now hurt or banged up or going to be questionable or going to give people headaches this year, where can we look to on the waiver wire to replace them? Waivers, of course, for many leagues run tonight. If not tonight, it will run tomorrow. Where can we look for these guys?
Like I said, Seferian Jenkins, you know, gives the Jets another option besides Jermaine Kearse. I think, you know, especially in the red zone, you know, he's somebody I think you should pick up if you're certainly looking for tight end help. You know, he's definitely one of the names there. Digging a little deep, you know, I think you'll see more from Cameron Brate going forward. I think a lot of people will cut him this week with the Patriots and all their injuries there. Don't be surprised to see Dwayne Allen step up. If you're really digging super deep, David Njoku is getting a lot of important looks, I think, in Cleveland. So he is definitely another name to consider. And lots of credit to Matty Modica for his Gerald Everett call, as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't draft Everett in any of, like, the regular 16 rounds. But I did put him on a bunch of draft champions. And he is a guy that, I mean, look, he's got talent. Then, you know, you saw it Sunday if you watched that game. I think he left with like a little hip injury or something like that. But he is a guy to monitor. There is options for tight ends. It's the deep position, and, you know, you're going to have to play the matchups. And, like, if Jordy's out this week, if Randall Cobb, they said, should play. I don't know about Jordy's status. You know, Martellus Bennett becomes more of a guy, I would think, in the passing game.
The tight ends that should be available, you mentioned Zach Miller, you mentioned Austin Seferian Jenkins, you have Evan Ingram after last night, you have Chuck Clay, who, you know, seems to still be healthy for now. Those are the guys that kind of stood out for me. Gerald Everett, if he's healthy, obviously. And that's kind of it. Those are the game. Those are the guys that you have to replace these big-time tight ends with if you need to.
What I'll say is, you know, it goes back to – and I take Jimmy Graham in the fifth round and in quite a few leagues as well, but don't pay for tight end. Just, you know, it seems to be every year it comes back to you, and it's the same story.
It just ultimately will not pay. All right, let's take a break here, gentlemen. When we come back, we'll talk about a position that is, well, not the tight end position. In fact, we'll get to the wide receiver position where we've gone through some injuries here ourselves. We'll also give you an Andrew Luck update coming up next hour. Matty Mo mentioned Randall Cobb. We'll give you the latest on the Green Bay Packer wide receivers and what you do with that situation there. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here rocking with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Take a break. We'll be back right after this. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Back here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt, you were saying before the break, when it came to the Green Bay Packers, the wide receiver update, and that's a lot of questions that we have gotten, certainly. What's the deal with these Green Bay Packer wide receivers? Randall Cobb had an MRI yesterday on his shoulder, came back clean. It's going to be a pain tolerance issue for him. He's probably going to play this weekend. I will say this, though. As good as he has looked the first 2 weeks, it's very, very good. Makes me feel very, very, very silly because... Well, you know, I was very off on him. But when he's banged up, things change. And he's banged up now, whatever that means. Jordy Nelson, on the other hand, I was reading a lot about yesterday because there wasn't really much information on him. We know that he had a quad injury. So what did that mean, right? So Pro Football Doc, David Chow, wrote about this in the Union Tribune. It was a San Diego paper. He seems to know Kevin Acey in writing this report. And basically, he said in regards to Jordy Nelson, and I'm trying to look for the exact quote, that he is not overly concerned with it, ultimately. That this thing turned out okay, and while it could be a week-to-week, it could be a week-to-week thing with him, there's a lot of optimism surrounding Jordy Nelson. So, it sounds like it's going to be, depending on the severity of said quad injury, more of a day-to-day thing, not something entirely serious, which is good.
And if you go to the player card at rotoexperts.com and you look at the inside injuries area and also check out their injury roundup that's on our site, right now, overall injury risk is high, and health performance factor is below average, but that can probably change throughout the week. Right now, health performance factor 0 to 100%. It's at 48%.
That's almost half, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing: Jordy Nelson owners took a zero Sunday night against the Falcons. It was a nice matchup. Devontae Adams owners were the ones that benefited the most because without Nelson and then Cobb going down, he was the beneficiary. So, I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers is still a great quarterback, but like with any other quarterback, you take away the number one receiver, especially a guy who he's played with for so many years, and they showed a stat on Sunday night, I believe it was, with Nelson and Rodgers together on third downs in the red zone. I mean, just how those numbers are just off the charts. So hopefully, Jordy, hopefully this is a minor thing. That's what I'm hoping. I own him in a couple spots. But this is a 32-year-old player as well.
David Chow said in his article, Kevin Acey, basically, players with this type of injury return rather quickly. It's common you utilize heat, you stretch, you use the bike, and then you just basically wrap the quad. When he didn't return, it was obviously that he could not get it loose again, the quad injury for Jordy Nelson. It's how flexible it will remain. Like, how loose can he get the quad? If he can get it loose, he can play as early as this Sunday. If he can't, it might be a multiple-week injury.
I don't know if he said if he went for an MRI or not. This is the inside injuries. Injury roundup on rotoexperts.com right now. It's free. It says For now, there are no signs to undergo an MRI, but if the Packers become concerned he's dealing with a more serious quad problem, they could send him for an MRI. Consider him a toss-up play in week three for now. Just keep a close eye on his practice status.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, just keep watching.
I think the key from there, though, is like, will they send him for an MRI?
Right. We'll see. We know Randall Cobb went for the MRI yesterday. That came back clean. As of now, we don't know any of that when it comes to Jordy Nelson.
Packers play the Bengals.
And the Packers do play the Bengals on Sunday. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some quarterback injuries next here on the Roto Experts.